Hello, and welcome to the Well Collab Feminine Leadership Podcast. I am Tammy Zadunik, founder of the Well Collab, and your host for today. Our podcast features feminine leadership principles and women leading both in their professional and personal lives. Let's get started.
Okay.
As cool. I drink my coffee that I know is not good for women.
Not true. Not necessarily true. Okay, so I think we have this misconception that coffee is bad for you, but it honestly depends. So it's like a back to kind of like, is it going to cause like an extra stressor on the body? It depends like what you're putting in your coffee, maybe the timing of when you're having your coffee. But when I like relate coffee to hormones, coffee is also a natural laxative. It helps you to have like regular bowel movements. So to me, in some ways, if it's doing that for you, and that's the way that we excrete our excess hormones, then it's kind of like a balance. It just depends if it's like adding more stress to your life, depending on how like high your stress hormones are.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. I'm going to keep drinking my coffee this morning then while we talk. I think that was a great introduction to you.
Yeah.
So I'm with Dr. Mackenzie Turner today, and she is a naturopathic doctor here in Saskatoon. And she's going to give us a little bit of history just on her, on you. Can you share a little bit about why did you want to get into that?
Yeah. It is interesting, especially like I grew up in small town Saskatchewan. So it's not, you know, my personal experience is that I didn't grow up with naturopathic medicine. I didn't grow up in a household that valued or had like philosophies around naturopathic medicine. So it is interesting that I heard about it so like later in life. But inherently, I always was very into like health and wellness. And I went to university. I got my physiology and pharmacology degree at the University of Saskatchewan is where I started. But with kind of like preemptively thinking about medicine or some type of health career. But I felt like I was always like into natural things, like always tincturing. Skincare was like a big thing for me. So I was always mixing up natural skincare regimens, things like that. I was in school in grinding it out in a 4-year degree. One of my friends, her mom actually is a functional medical doctor here in the city. And she was in Arizona telling me that there was this program called naturopathic medicine. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. Like, I don't even know what a naturopathic doctor is. And I was probably like 21 at the time. Yeah. So this was only like 8 years ago, which is wild. But I did my own research on it and found that there were doctors here in the city. And then I shadowed those doctors. There's only 2 programs in Canada, so you can then go on and do the degree of naturopathic medicine. You either have to go to Toronto or Vancouver. So I applied to Vancouver. I didn't even think about Toronto. I just really wanted to be on the West Coast. And yeah, I got accepted and I spent 5 years there.
Wow.
In my program. Yeah.
Take me through the program a bit. What does it teach you? How does it compare to a medical doctor? I think people don't understand the GP versus the naturopath. I have both in my life.
Yeah.
I have a naturopathic doctor and a general practitioner and a homeopathic and
all sorts of
physiotherapist and like a team, right?
Yeah.
But how does that work?
Yeah, that's a really good question because I don't think that a lot of people understand the training that we have and actually how similar it is to the conventional med route. There's for sure differences. So both are 4 years of curriculum training. So very comparable in the amount that you study. The difference being that as a naturopathic doctor, you don't move on to do residency. So,
I love that.
But you can. So usually that's more like niched for people who want to work with like chronic illnesses, cancer, etc. That's more of kind of like a residency that you would apply to. However, there still are mentorships. Like my mentorship was in women's health and fertility.
Okay.
Yeah. But in terms of like the school and curriculum, it's a lot of the same like base, like physiology, anatomy. Where we see like a difference is that we have more training in modalities of alternative medicine that would be things like traditional Chinese medicine, botanical medicine, orthopedics. So we actually, one thing people don't know about us is that we actually learn how to do like chiropractic manipulations. Yeah, we're, our like profession is really like a jack of all trades, which makes it a little bit difficult when you want to go into something specific, but it's cool in that way. Yeah.
Do you learn acupuncture as well?
We do. Yes, that's part of our traditional Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
And then one thing I should touch on is that one of the big differences with nutrition, and don't quote me on this, mm-hmm. I've heard on other like podcasts, and I was in schooling from colleagues of mine that were in medicine, is that they have one semester, maybe one class of nutrition. We have 9.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're like, really, we take like a lot of training on nutrition, functional medicine, and just how that like impacts the person. Yeah.
Okay. So interesting. Before we get into burnout, I want to talk a little bit about the food piece, because there's different schools of thought with food is not medicine. Food is medicine. Mm. Food can heal. Food doesn't heal. Food is neutral. What's your personal take on food? It doesn't need to be what other people might disagree. It doesn't matter.
People come to me with either kind of like general health or like something really specific that they're working on. So how strict I get with food will depend like where you're at on that spectrum. But yeah, that's a broad one. I do think like anybody who comes to see me, one of the biggest things I say is making sure that the foundations are there. So nutrition will always be like one of the biggest things that impact your health. Of course, it's like, and it can negatively impact your health depending on like what you're eating. If you're having a lot of saturated fats, a lot of like sugary processed foods, things that are wreaking havoc on your hormones, versus if you're eating a ton of like whole foods and things that are super healing. However, if there is like something going on in the body that's more of like a condition, like a digestive condition, mm-hmm. just eating well won't necessarily cure that.
Okay. I mean, right. This, like, to me, you just, you know, when there's like a fire and you think something's burning, you're just like, your words just like pour water on my fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you're soothing, even with the coffee and with this. I get that. I get what you're saying. There is this balance. It's understanding why.
Yes.
It's listening to your body. Mm-hmm. Like there's
the why.
Yeah, there's like, why are we making this change? Is there a simpler change we could implement first? You know, there's like these options and I appreciate that.
Awesome.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about burnout. So January's theme is, In the Feminine Economy by Jennifer Armbrust, is You Have a Body.
Cool.
So it's very simple. It's just, you have a body. January, let's get in touch with our body. We've done different themes where, you know, listening to your gut, trusting your intuition. Those are all really important and they come into play with this, with burnout for sure. But I thought, why don't we just actually try to work towards some tangible tips to avoid burnout?
Yeah.
I think you can avoid it. And I'm saying that in terms of, if there isn't some major catastrophic or some event happening in your life that's very serious, there are times where external stressors you cannot control and things will happen in your life. So let's like set that aside. We're not talking about an extreme emergency state, talking about a normal everyday working, taking care of your family, whatever that is, state. So that's kind of what we're working with in. But can I quickly ask you, because I see this on my list, before we talk about that, what brought you back from Vancouver to Saskatoon? Because everyone will want to know that.
that one, it's straight up my fiance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
love.
Yeah. Love conquers all, which is so funny. It was him. At the same time, like, I think about it and I'm like, it's hard to say whether or not, if he wasn't in the picture, what I would have done.
Sure.
I always knew I would come back to Saskatoon.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Vancouver is lovely. I go there lots. I still do wish I was there from time to time. Just more so like the lifestyle, the friend group, things like that. But yeah, I'm really making like putting my roots down here in Saskatoon, and it's been great. So
yeah, we love having you at the Well, and I know I've just only met you recently because you started in October.
Yeah.
But you are definitely wanting to engage, and we feel that, and it is really impactful for the community, so I appreciate that. And I know that's a part of you coming back here and wanting to like ground yourself and find some women that are great that you can connect with, and so I appreciate that.
Yeah, and that's the thing I actually love about Saskatoon and Saskatchewan, it's just like these little growing communities that when I went away to school, like, no, I didn't know anything about naturopathic medicine and it being here. And same with these like wellness communities and women like entrepreneurial groups. There were similar things in Vancouver that I would sometimes go to. So when I came back here, and just like people who are like, oh wow, like there's a naturopathic doctor here that does women's health, I'm kind of like in the same awe of all these other like groups and women who are doing really amazing things that I've seen across in other provinces or even like in the States. So I'm like, wow, Saskatoon just has so much potential.
I agree. We've such great women here.
Yeah.
And in Toronto too, because now we're planting in Toronto.
Yeah, which is so cool.
I know, so fun. Okay, so I want to read a quote by Pooju Agarwal. I found it when I was doing my research for this. So she is a neurologist, and she's talking about the time 6 years ago she experienced burnout. So it says, I was working long hours, socially withdrawn, not sleeping, feeling empty and giving all to my work. I was not able to show up well as a mother or take care of myself. Many of us can say we've experienced burnout at some point, as the stresses of work or even home obligations can overwhelm us and cause us to be exhausted and apathetic. I felt like that was a really important piece I wanted to touch on, and chronically lose sleep. Oftentimes we feel better when a big project ends or we're able to take a brief respite from the office. However, and she's talking about with the pandemic and unrelenting stresses, it can feel like burnout can be never ending. So I had asked a few women to share with me what burnout feels like for them and how it manifests itself in their body. So they had said anxiety, anxious, apathy, not sleeping, physical exhaustion, anger, sadness, overwhelmed by small things, body tensing, can't cry, followed by waterworks. Brain says go, 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 but body is frozen. And I think then what people do sometimes is we isolate, our mind races, we become physically exhausted, and we're trying to take care of everything around us. So, and then you fall into that complete shutdown. So I think, what I want to kind of figure out is like, how do you see burnout present itself in your office? And what would happen if a woman came to you and was like, I'm experiencing some of these things that I that I mentioned?
That is actually like exactly how a lot of women do present in my practice. Not always that way, because not everybody knows. Not everybody is fully like aware.
Self-aware, right?
Exactly. And burnout, which really like in medical term is called the HPA axis dysregulation. So it's just like your brain's ability to kind of like regulate like your hormones. And so it's more or less, it occurs in phases. So the way that I would like describe it to a woman or patient, I'd ask if you're familiar with the term cortisol. Okay. We get a lot of it's a buzzword in the world right now. But what it is that's our stress hormone. It's one of our stress hormones, the primary one. And so it's released from our adrenal glands, which are these little bean-shaped glands that sit up top of our kidneys. And so cortisol gets released in times of both perceived and unperceived stress. So that's the part where we aren't like fully recognizing is maybe, so we've got like the perceived stress that we know. So maybe you're going through a breakup. Maybe there's a lot of financial stress. You're a student, you're studying, you're like, you know, a mom that's like all over the place. But then the unperceived stress is what adds to it. So maybe you're undernourishing, you're not sleeping properly, you're not hydrating, your hormones are all over the place. And you can almost like think of ourselves as like a bucket. So cortisol is like filling up this bucket until it just like eventually tips. And the tipping point is like what we would term as maybe the burnout. And so it kind of happens in phases. Like what I say too is like the body is so smart. So when we're stressed and we're in that sympathetic state, we excrete more cortisol because it's our survival hormone. It kind of like gets us to like continue doing what we need to do. And you've probably gone through phases. Like I can't actually think of one person on the planet who hasn't experienced this, where it's like you feel like your kind of like capping point and day to day is just like it's almost like unattainable, but you still are able to somehow get through it.
Yeah.
But then it's the after phase where you're burning out. But
okay, so, yeah, because your bucket is full.
Yes.
And some of us run with a full bucket all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. So it doesn't take much to tip that
exactly.
over.
Yes. And so we're compensating at first. Like, we're putting out more and more cortisol to, like, help us stay in that high state. But eventually that mechanism, like anything in the body, it just gets completely exhausted, or, you know, like, it's not as sensitive as it once was. And that's when we start to reach exhaustion. So we have four phases of that, so to speak, like adrenal fatigue. And when you're putting, it starts with putting out more cortisol and then eventually less, and that your body is just like, I can't do that. So when women present in my practice, I'm like, my goal is that we just don't get there. We do not get to that burnout phase.
Yeah exactly. I mean, I think that's what we all want.
Yeah.
But we're like, how do we do that? I mean,
how
I know
do that? Yeah.
A lot of it is like these mental health, these like boundaries,
yeah.
self-awareness.
Exactly.
But we need to be, we can't be in a state of almost burnout.
Yeah.
If we are, we can't even implement those things.
Exactly.
We can't gain self-awareness because we actually don't have any room or capacity to even
do those things. Yeah. And that's also like building stress resiliency is like a big thing too. So that, you know, eventually, like when these things happen again, or how do we kind of like combat the stress that we can. And like you mentioned, one of the things that, I definitely start to see in my practice or hear frequently is like that apathetic state. Like
yes.
the almost like they're like, I don't feel like I don't even know who I am right now. Like I don't feel like I'm like the wife or the mother or the, you know, girlfriend, partner, person that I once was. And there's like starting to be that kind of disconnect.
I kinda don't care.
Yeah, you're driving.
I'm almost like I don't care anymore.
Yeah,
exactly. It's very sad. Like when I say that, I almost get emotional because I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful that I have more self-awareness now.
Yeah.
And I'm able to set boundaries and put things in place to support myself.
Yeah.
And then if I feel it coming up, I'm actually very quick on the draw to be like, no.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. But that comes from, number one, I'm like turning 45 in a few months.
Yeah.
So that's not when I was 25.
Yeah.
And also I've went through really hard seasons that have taught me. And I think if we really want to help not only women meet my age and older, but women who are younger and I think women who are younger are more aware and self-aware because they've grown up with it.
Yeah.
But to help them recognize it, especially for new mothers.
Yeah. And the new mothers thing postpartum is like one of the transitions that I do see often. That's a lot of like hormonal shifts there, like definitely wanting to get hormones checked after postpartum, because that can be like a big thing, playing into like that irritability, especially, or like not feeling like yourself. So yeah, with cortisol or even just feeling burnout in general, some of the things that you want to be aware of is looking at nutrient deficiencies.
Yes.
Because of just the physiologically, like the hormonal and adrenal cascade relies on certain vitamins, minerals.
What would you say are the most important ones?
And again, taking like a whole health history is important, but most women, I probably get like 10% that have been on some form of hormonal birth control. That's really going to deplete a lot of your nutrients. And then needing, because when you're thinking about it, you're taking an oral
hormone
that gets processed in the liver. And just the way like these cascades occur, they rely on certain cofactors within the body, like your B vitamins, your magnesium, things like that. So the pill really depletes those things. Other mechanisms within the body rely on that to work efficiently. So including the adrenal cascade is one of them too.
We did not know.
No one knows. Yeah.
We didn't know like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It was even longer than that I was on birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Only for a few years, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that.
Totally.
And how that impacts my health now. Like just so much, so many things to be aware of.
Yeah. So when you're coming off like hormonal birth control, definitely resupplementing with B vitamins, or while you're on it too, would be best case. Magnesium being one as well. Other deficiencies, so when we're speaking about adrenal cascade specifically, vitamin C and B5,
okay,
pentothenic acid, they rely actually on each other to work together within the adrenal cascade. So ensuring that we're getting lots of that as well.
Okay. B5 combined with vitamin C.
Yeah. The two together, I mean, anyway. Great. Yeah.
I heard recently about vitamin C, and we only think of it from an immunity, yeah. from a, yeah. oh but actually God, if, our, so good. If our adrenals yeah. are...
Rely not, on it.
Yeah. yeah. No wonder we're getting sick. yeah, you know, good it's more point. Than just, yeah. yeah, it's adrenals that's the problem. And then, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, vitamin C is huge. It's, yeah, really great for the immune system, but it definitely does have its functions elsewhere in the body. So, yeah, part of that practice then when somebody is in burnout is correcting those nutrient deficiencies would be the big thing. And then I also talk about, in terms of herbal medicine, again, I ask patients, have you heard of adaptogens? Are you familiar with adaptogens?
What is an adaptogen?
So an adaptogen is a group, a term for a certain group of herbs.
Okay.
That actually help to regulate your cortisol curve. So your stress hormone. So one thing, if I rewind and go back to kind of talking about cortisol, there's a specific pattern that it should follow throughout the day.
Yeah.
So it yeah. should be highest in the morning around that like 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. time frame, because it's our get up and go hormone. We want it to like get us out of bed. And then being highest in the morning, because we want that to be like our get up and go hormone, kind of hitting its like peak mid morning, and then it should just slowly taper off throughout the day. At no point should it have a drastic dip anywhere, but we want it to be low enough in the night so that our melatonin can come up and keep yes. us asleep. So there's a few different things I see. I either see people that are like, I cannot get out of bed. Like I am dragging my butt. Mm. Like I'm just not able, even like after having a cup of coffee, and I'm like, okay, your cortisol is probably a little low in the morning. Or you're having afternoon crashes and dips.
Yeah.
Which can also be blood sugar
definitely
related. And then the person who's like, I can't get to sleep because I have racing thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, anxiety for sure. But think about how like anxiety impacts your cortisol because your body thinks it's in a fight or flight mode. Yeah. So, or people who, you know, you have a project or you're working late and your body is trying to fall asleep and you force it not to. So then that cortisol comes back up.
Okay. So that's yeah. what I've read yeah. is if yes. your melatonin kind of peaks at 10 and then yes. if you don't kind of take it up on it, like yeah. go to bed, then yeah. your cortisol, they start to
yeah, they switch. Cross. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So sometimes when it comes to sleep, it's working. It's me kind of figuring out like, which one is it? Is it that your cortisol's too high or your melatonin's not high enough?
I love that. Yeah. You can figure that out. Like,
yeah. Based on,
there's
I
a
do,
way.
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of history taking. Yeah. Obviously testing is definitely like going to be factual. So then you know exactly yeah. like what that curve looks like. But just to rewind back to the adaptogen. So that group of herbs that essentially they adapt and they are going to adapt that curve to like help it so that if you're spiking, if your cortisol should be nice, like rolling hills throughout the day, and it's actually like spiking all over the place, they're going to help build that stress resiliency to normalize that curve.
Okay. So what are some adaptogens we would yeah. have heard of?
Oh, ashwagandha. That oh. one would be like your mushrooms, like reishi.
Yes, reishi. Panics. We just saw the reishi by Bloom. Bloom makes a reishi product with chocolate yeah. for your a drink.
Yes. Yeah. yes, it's cool. Like okay. I do love the wellness industry. There's lots of like sometimes I'm like coming from like a health professional, there's some that I'm like, okay, like we should go, you know, make sure it's like good quality,
yes.
all mm-hmm. types of things like that.
Yeah.
But it is fun. Like Harmonic Arts has a lot of different kind of like mushroom powders that yeah. you can make like these fun elixirs, like make your drinks sexy throughout the day so that it doesn't just seem like you have to take all these pills, right? But yeah, those would be kind of the biggest ones.
We need, okay, so what I'm hearing is the well needs to provide some sexy recipes. Yes. Sexy mushroom recipes.
Reishi hot cocoa at the wellness party next Christmas.
I love that.
You could even yeah. make like the adrenal cocktail is yes. what I okay. call it. It's yeah. like, so you're gonna, we mentioned some form of vitamin C.
Okay.
So you either take water or coconut water that provides electrolytes. You add vitamin C either from a lemon or lime, pinch of salt, and then you have your adrenal cocktail.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So those yeah. are, that's a tip that like women can do just on the daily.
Like a little pink Himalayan
yes,
salt.
Yes, pink about? Himalayan salt. Yeah, a little sprinkle of that. But okay. there are lots of little tips that you can do. So when we talk about, you mentioned you are familiar, like your children, you're like, it's because your cortisol is too high. So what are ways that we can just bring down cortisol? Part of it being like, well, what's the environment in your home look like? Mm. Like, do you have flashing strobes going off in the morning to get your kids out of bed? So just trying
like
to
like a little
create
soft music.
Exactly.
Like maybe some low lights.
Low lights.
Like I like a little bit of low lights. Soft music, record player, a little candle. Kind of our same evening.
Evening
for sure.
To start
the day.
Yeah.
Like we can almost do the same.
Same. Totally. In the evening you want to have like that dim light.
Yeah.
You too, just get your body into that like rest parasympathetic state. Mm-hmm. In the morning I have 3 W's that are free.
Let's do it.
Waking, so that one's easy. Yeah. You wake up.
Wake up.
You have water.
Okay.
Hydration, gonna also be really good for your body and stress. That's one of the biggest things I ask people who are stressed out. I'm like, how much water are you drinking?
Yes.
And walking. More so because walking, it's that early morning sunlight exposure. Yeah. So just, there is so many little like free tidbits people can do. It doesn't always have to start with like, you know, paying for these elaborate supplements, although it will help for sure. And then two, I always ask, are you in counseling?
Yeah.
Do you have therapy? Counseling in your...
I love therapy.
Yeah.
I love a good team of lots of people.
Yes, team. Because I'm just one part of it in so many things that I see. I'm like, I try to be as transparent as I can in that regard. Like being like, I'm not an expert in this. Do you have this person on your team? Pelvic physio is definitely one.
Physio. Yeah.
Oh,
a coach. Like even a coach. Yeah. Someone for that encouraging voice, like that coach you had in sports in school that kept you going and didn't let you quit, you know? Yeah. I think exercise is something that... Mm-hmm. So I want to hear your perspective. For me, I exercise not for my physical appearance because when I exercised for my physical appearance, I wouldn't be consistent with it. Yeah. So I exercise for my mental health, my physical health, not appearance. I will do it for that reason. Mm-hmm. So what's your take on, or is that something you talk about?
It is. I don't think, actually, you know, a lot of my patients, how do I say this? A good portion of them, I think, are aware of that, which luckily, like I don't have a ton of patients that come in and say they only work out for appearance, but maybe it's folded under things that I,
or even
you know,
just exercise in general.
Exactly.
Like, what's your thoughts on exercise?
And this is like on the topic of balance, because I've really been thinking about balance lately and how do we create that balance is getting away from the all or nothing. Because that's what I see a lot.
That's a problem.
And that was me to a T, and I still struggle with sometimes, but that's just being like completely honest. But that previously was like somebody who I would be like, if I was doing all my health things like 100%, then perfect. But then if I didn't, I'd like fall off the wagon. So with the exercise regimen, I think consistency, actually like health across the board, the best success is consistency, because you're not always going to be motivated or, you know, feel like the discipline to do it. But, just keeping like a regular, consistent, exercise regimen that's not going to put more stress on the body, because that's the unperceived stress. So we do get the women that are super stressed out, but they're like, but I'm also waking up at 5 a.m. and doing spin class 6 times a week.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, that's the unperceived stress. It might make you feel good after, but that's an extra stressor on the body.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I like that you're like, walk.
Yes.
Walk.
Yes.
And maybe some weights?
I say weights. Every single woman, please lift.
That's another
weights.
W. I love these W's.
Yeah, I know. I'm like going to start this growing list. But the weights are going to set you up for like the best hormonal transitions. Yeah. They'll like building muscle tissue is like really good for just like health and longevity, especially through that like menopausal stage too. Like we're thinking like bone density, weight resistance training. So like the earlier you get on it, and implement that into your lifestyle, the better.
Yeah.
You don't have to go crazy, and it doesn't have to be like massive weights at the gym, like body resistant training.
Sure.
You know?
Yes. And I think it's never too late.
Yes.
It's
exactly.
never too late to do. You know, even if I think of the kind of weight lifting, it's not, but like even the things we did in Pilates where it was very body resistant, but you're using your own weight to do things. Mm-hmm. Really good stuff like that too. But I do lift weights a little bit once a week only.
That's okay.
Just to be totally honest, once a week only. Do better than me.
that's great.
But it does great. Make me feel, it feels attainable for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel really proud of myself.
Yeah.
I think if I was to say I'm going to do it 3 times a week or 4, I've tried that and then I haven't done it. And then I've felt like a failure and I've quit. Yes. And I know my pattern is that. Mm-hmm. So I don't do that anymore. And I think it's like that smart. Self-awareness.
Yeah.
I know my patterns.
That's smart. I like that you said attainable. One thing in practice, I wasn't just learning as I go, but that's one of the things that I definitely screen for at the end of visits is like, what is attainable to you? Like, will you take these supplements that I prescribed? Will you do this plan I try to get a gauge of like where you're at with say that stress bucket or just in general what you can take on as a human. And then if it's weight training once a week with like some walks sprinkled in, then that's what you do.
Yeah. And I start really want to
with baby steps with everything.
Yeah. Like touch on that with this podcast. I mean, you're listening to this. We're going to touch on everything. We're going to try to talk about everything. My hope is that anyone listening would think of one or two things they're going to consider implementing rather than feeling like this pressure that they have to do
everything.
So here's some things I had written down for myself, reasons why I haven't been able to care for myself properly and then hitting burnout, kids, work, expectations, whether perceived or real. There are real expectations from people and there are perceived expectations, letting people down, people pleasing, same thing, right? Family pressure. One that came up was it's just easier to do it myself.
Yeah.
So rather than delegate it or hire, so that's control. Yes. I don't want it to go wrong. So I'm just going to do it myself. So that's like a control issue and, don't want to ask for help. So again, this is falls into control or maybe just not confident or, you know, there's lots of reasons that we wouldn't want to ask for help. We don't want to have to ask for help.
Yes.
Because by asking for help, we're already doing the thing that was hard because it's that mental load. I think so when I'm thinking about this, I'm going, okay, so the real reason that we're hitting burnout is because we don't even have the capacity to recognize what's going on in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And then we just hit it.
Yeah.
And what can we do a little bit ahead of time to start to recognize what we're actually, all the things that we are carrying that we don't have to carry on our own. Mm-hmm. And because I think ultimately what we need to do is we need to have boundaries in order to avoid burnout. And I would say if there's one thing, that's it. Because even for me to make an appointment with you means that I'm saying no to something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me to spend the money on supplements means I'm saying no to maybe a kid's activity.
Totally.
But I am more important than a kid's activity because there's no one to take them to the activity if I'm not well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really like starting to recognize the importance and value in ourselves.
Yeah. I think like you said it, that it is such like default to come up with. And I don't know if there's like a different term for excuses, but yeah, like you said, just like reasons why we can't do something, and all of them are so valid for you. But then I think the alternative to think about is find your why. Because like you don't want to let people down, and this is like the best you. Like I think that like when you're taking care of yourself, you're able to better take care of like your family, your partner, all the people around you. You have like, you feel just like you can do those things when you're in a healthier state, if that makes sense. So
it's not selfish.
It's not selfish. No. So that's, and honestly, at the end of the day, like you can say kind of what you're saying is like, we don't have the time. I have to give up this. I have to give up that. I think eventually in your life, you'll find that you have no choice. Actually.
So that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You eventually get to a place where it's like, okay, well, you're going to have to choose yourself now because you've gotten to this state where you now have to face the illness essentially that you have, because that's what stress does. I see it all the time in my practice.
Ease.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the sooner you can get on that and find your why, I know it looks different for everybody because not everybody has childcare. They might not have help in their family to
they don't live near extended family or don't have the finances to pay to source things.
Exactly. That's a huge thing too. So finances can be a major barrier. We're still like navigating like how can we get around those barriers, but there's always little things that you can do.
It's okay to say no to your kid about a sport.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it out loud. That's from Tammy. Like it's okay to not be able to keep up with everyone on social media.
Yeah.
That's not real.
Yes.
It's okay to like not do something that is what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the things that comes down to for me is our health. That's all we have, you know? And once, if we're not well, we would give up anything to have our child well or ourself well.
Yes, I see that. I see that all the time.
And I'm not saying, I mean, everyone's going to do what they want because we all have to find our why. And I know for me, mental health and having a healthy mind, because I'm so sick my whole life with dealing with that, that I'm not willing to go into that state again.
Exactly.
Hence even the Well Collaborative, why it exists.
Yeah.
So that we can maybe just do one small thing to help ourselves.
Yeah. Start with that. Start with the baby steps.
What do you think about like when I say how do the falling impact our health as women?
Okay.
So like sleep.
Oh, sleep is... Number one. Sleep is number one. I'm not, like, I actually can't think of anything else that you can have your nutrition down pat. You can have, like, your exercise all good. Even if, like, you have a regular routine and schedule, like, modest stress throughout your day, that is the number one factor that is going to, like, mess up your hormones. It's going to make you...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll cause a lot of stress on the body. But when you think about it, sleep is, like, when we're in that state of repair. Yeah, so much happens in the body physiologically while we're asleep. So when we're not getting a restful sleep, so enough hours, but the good quality sleep, that's just going to wreak havoc throughout the day. I see a lot of like inflammation too comes from poor sleep. So huge. It's the number one.
So that's interesting because often we'll sacrifice other things. I know. We'll do other things on the list and sacrifice our sleep.
Can I just say this for myself? I will say that I, to this day now, from like being in school for so long, sleep is probably my number one non-negotiable.
I love that. Good for you. We can, that's free. Hey, that's free.
That's free. I used to stay up so late trying to cram. Your mom or other people in your life probably have told you, like, you would have just done better had you gotten some sleep.
I tell my kids that.
It's wild. It's all perspective because when you're in a rigorous program, you just feel like you have no other choice. But funny, like, not that long ago, I think it was, like, a couple of months back, I had to study for, like, some type of, like, board thing. And I felt like I had, like, PTSD. And I was like, I'm not going to do this. I will never compromise sleep. And some people have issues, like sleep issues, and that's where it's like, okay, let's get to the bottom of why that and is.
Sure. Yeah. So you may not be able to sleep. You might be listening to this and saying, I can't. Okay. But prioritize finding one thing that might help you sleep better.
Yes.
Right? So it's not like you need to now have this perfect night's sleep. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is one thing I could do that could help my sleep?
Mm-hmm. There's three. I give like a little like three rule tidbit.
Yeah.
So to have like really good sleep, stop eating 3 hours before bedtime. Stop drinking fluids 2 hours before bedtime. And if you do still need like something, sip, not gulps. And then no blue lights 1 hour before bedtime.
Yeah.
So it's a 3-2-1.
What are your thoughts on alcohol? I know it's like a tricky one.
Exactly. I think from a health perspective, it's the one thing that serves zero purpose for your health. Like, unfortunately, I'm not saying that you can't, because like it's all about balance and do what feels like good for you within reason, but it has zero health benefits. It definitely creates poor sleep would be a big one, inflammation, and then just a lot of mental health too. Yeah. Like, I'm sure everybody knows about the Sunday scaries, but you wake up and you feel, because alcohol's a downer. And you wake up the next day and your nervous system, again, is just so impacted by alcohol. You feel off. You can't get your shit together for, you know, the coming week. And so moderate definitely like moderate, choose less like sugary options when possible too.
There's so many good mocktails now. And we talked about our other drinks. So yeah, there are lots of options now, but again, it's not about judgment. It's about, it's like we don't exercise so we look a certain way. We don't say don't drink in order to judge you or your habits. It's just about the facts and like about reframing it a little bit, I think.
Reframing,
too.
Yeah.
Okay, sex. And I just want to start with a disclaimer. This is with or without a partner.
Having a healthy, like a healthy sex, that's, it's so important for your health and your mood. So with sex, I would say like, I always ask, one of my questions is, how's your libido?
Yeah.
Because it can go.
Right, because it's hormonal.
Like, exactly. Part of it is hormonal. When it, and it can be all of our hormones. It's not just we think it's one hormone. Like we typically think it's our testosterone, but it can be like low estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, all of them. Several factors that go into like why you might have a low libido. I also, if it is like a partner relationship, then that's something that I do ask. Like again, not an expert, but screen for it. It's like, well, what's the relationship like with your partner, and how do you guys like talk about intimacy and sex? But it is really important for, you know, keeping up, like boosting your feel good hormones. Like it's going to make you the endorphins and adrenaline and even oxytocin that's secreted when you're having that intimacy. Wait, I'm talking like on a partner level because
that's
a healthy relationship, but even with yourself, same thing. Like it still serves such like a purpose in the body in terms of like having, healthy hormones. So if you feel like the drive isn't there, like it's just consistently not there, definitely want to consider looking at your hormone levels.
Yeah, I like that. I think you definitely like don't assume there's something wrong with you mentally.
No, exactly.
Or emotionally with your partner. It could be a physical, a
it's
hormonal
both.
Thing.
It's
yeah, it's
both.
Usually both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. I want to talk more about sex with women. So hormones, I feel like we've touched on a lot, but hormones impacting our health as women. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that with health conditions, stress and hormones?
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, like feeling like oversimplified, because I think even like on a lot of my intakes, it's like my hormones, but I often wonder like when a woman comes in, I'm like, what do you mean by that? Like, where'd you hear that? Like, what is connecting your thoughts as to why you think this is a hormonal issue? I think, like you mentioned, it's again, one of those things, it's easy to just say, it's my hormones are off. And it is possible, like that definitely could be.
But then it's like, but then what?
Yeah. And then there's no like actionable plan or step to go forward with that. Yeah. So definitely, again, with my intakes, I do like a pretty extensive like health questionnaire. And I can gather some information about looking at what your hormones are doing in the body. And it's not even always whether something is too low or too high. It's sometimes the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is one low, or is it because it's low relative to the other hormone being too high? And
Fair enough. Do
we balance those things out? Stress definitely will impact your hormones for sure. Especially if you're, like you said, we're talking about like not situational stress where there's like a big kind of life stressor happening. It's kind of our day-to-day burnout moms and women. Create a routine because I find that where we're lacking in our decision making is because decisions create another stress on the body. So I know it sounds like a lot of work at first, but let's start with one thing. Maybe this week we just have more protein in our breakfast, but what does your breakfast look like? And you have that breakfast every day. Eventually you're going to be able to layer in more things that take no thought.
It's creating, I love this because you're right. Decision making is the hardest thing, and we have
it
so
is.
Many decisions a day.
It's decision
creating
fatigue.
A routine. It's decision fatigue.
Yeah.
And also this is creating a habit.
A habit.
Like an atomic habit. It's like, I love that book, and I love that.
Yeah.
I'm not a natural habit creator,
but
I have done the work to create certain habits that have been highly beneficial for
me.
I completely agree with you. I did not know you were going to say that. That's the best answer.
Like for instance, and I hear this a lot, it's like, well, I was go, doing this, doing that. I forgot to eat lunch, even breakfast. I had one coffee, and then by the afternoon, you're starving. Like your brain, with all the stress that it's under, we need sugar. That's going to be the most easy, accessible thing for the body. But if you're having your planned, we'll just like keep it simple with nutrition, then, you know, you don't get to that point. You don't make that stop through the drive-through, right? Because you have your planned meals. Other things for hormone that would be super easy, magnesium. Just get on your magnesium.
And which helps with sleep.
Helps with sleep.
So we're doing
both. Hormones.
And hormones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's perfect. I'm going to end it there. I think this was so informative.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.